You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Ready-Made Resources has a limited number of PVS-30 night vision scopes for $4,700. These are the top-of-the-line night vision scopes used by the U.S. military, which normally sell for over $11,000. Turn your 12-hour rifle into a 24-hour rifle. Visit Ready-Made Resources to get your PVS-30 today. Trading Post in the Woods is ran by veteran crisis responders who know how important it is to be prepared. They specialize in comprehensive natural survival remedy kits, preparedness and homesteading supplies, as well as skills training. Visit them online today at tradingpostinthewoods.com. Hey, Preppers and Patriots. This is the second half of my interview with John Rourke of 1776PatriotUSA.com. Enjoy the show. Do you think the conflict in the West Wing is sort of a microcosm of what we're seeing in the rest of the country?
That's a good question. It's definitely a possibility. I don't think Ivanka is the most conservative individual out there, let alone her husband. So, there's no doubt there's a lot of division, and Kushner, if he still holds the beliefs that he held when he was giving money to Democrat candidates, including Hillary Clinton, which of course Trump donated those funds as well, then he may be a liberal perspective in Trump's ear and trying to sway him in different directions, and it'd probably be a good thing to have Trump hear all sides of different issues. Just hopefully he takes the right approach.
You've written several articles about the American Reformation. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah. The American Reformation is a term. It's basically a combination of Civil War and Revolution in the United States. I truly do not see a healing in the United States, that we're going to come out and history is going to show that for somehow and for whatever reason, this division that we have in this country is going to dissipate and go away. I only see it getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And so I believe that at some point, and there's all kinds of ways that this could happen, but at some point that a civil war is going to occur, and it's and exactly what it's going to look like and how it's going to progress is really going to be dependent upon where an individual lives. If somebody lives in a big city and there's riots that have broken out, and it's a very progressive type government, like San Francisco, like New York, and if you're a conservative and you have friends, even family, that are aware of your politics, that's probably not a good place for you to be, and things may not work out well. Where if you live out in the country, that's just a totally different geographical situation. And so the American Reformation, what I see is a civil war that I just think it's just bound to happen. And history may show that we're in the beginning of that now. And that it's just the division is just going to continue. Antifa, the stuff that's going on there with these people. There's no doubt. Look at what's happening right now. It's becoming almost commonplace to hear about protests that are becoming violent. Blood's being drawn, sticks. The stuff's being thrown. A couple of the more recent protests, you had conservatives that are fighting back and standing up for themselves, which is good. However, I just think it's going to escalate. Eventually, the Antifa, they're throwing bottles and using bear spray. Eventually, shots are going to be fired. And when that happens, then you're going to have, whether it's the alt-right, or basically the opposite side, the conservatives, you know, they're going to arm themselves to protect themselves, and it's just going to continue from there.
For the folks that may not be familiar with Antifa, it's short for anti-fascist, which ironically, they look exactly like Nazi brown shirts. They're wearing the armbands. They're basically like a Nazi brown shirt mixed with a gamer. Maybe somebody that might have a little tuft of purple or blue hair and some facial piercings and that sort of thing. And then all black with an armband. So basically a gamer mixed with a brown shirt. And they're very fascist in the way that they treat people while taking on the moniker of being anti-fascist. And we've seen them in New York. And they were heavily involved in the Berkeley riots recently. And I think that you're right. I think we're going to start seeing more and more of them. And I think they're sort of the tip of the spear of the violent side of the left, that you're talking about this, and what could boil up to be an actual internal conflict within the U.S. And I think that you're right. They're most active in the cities, and you don't see too many Antifa riots in small town USA because I suppose that's something that would be quickly rectified by the local population.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, when you look up the definition of fascist and fascism, and then look at what they are doing. The hypocrisy is just unbelievable. And again, I would say the hypocrisy of the left, I try not to think about it, but I just continue to rack my brain trying to understand how somebody can, you know, freak out over a spotted owl egg or something getting damaged or moved, but the killing of a baby via abortion. Oh, that's okay. The hypocrisy is just unreal, and Antifa is the same thing. They're anti-fascist, but that's what they're doing, in my opinion.
And on that subject, Kushner and Ivanka are both strong supporters of Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, and I tell you, I hope that Trump makes his own decisions, and he appears to be certainly not going in that direction.
And for folks that are thinking about this Reformation, and they're thinking that we may be taking a turn towards internal mm-hmm. conflict and these types of things, you know, when you look at the Civil War, and you know, most people can say, you know, it started in 1861 and ended in 1865. But in the reality, there's all this lead up time where that date is actually very fuzzy. You know, you had the things going on in Virginia with John Brown, prior to, the attacks in South Carolina and, And there was just a lot of tension and a lot of buildup and a lot of things just sort of getting – you could feel things growing out of control. And it's the historians that look back that put the mile markers and say this is where it started and this is where it ended. But the people that are actually living that out, you know, they don't really see the Appomattox courthouse as quite as clearly as the historian does looking backwards as far as, you know, being the day that it ended, you know. So, that's one of the things we got to be careful about in these types of things is they'll sort of sneak up on you and you won't realize that it's happening.
Right.
So you got to really keep your eye on the ball. Can you give us a couple of pointers of what you think folks need to be doing right now to be preparing for some type of internal conflict?
Yeah, I think you know, any kind of civil unrest. You know, I think the standard basic preparations that if you live in an area that gets overtaken by civil unrest, and which could affect electricity, power, the ability to access local services, is to be as independent as possible. It's your food, it's your water, it's potentially backup electrical services, medical, stuff like that. I think that, you know, it goes right in line with almost any other disaster. And of course, firearms and training. I would never recommend civil unrest breaks out downtown. Hey, let's go down there and see what's going on. No, that would not be a very intelligent thing to do. You know, to stay at home and shelter in place until hopefully it goes by. But long term, with the American Reformation, where we're talking about, you know, constant civil unrest and potentially, I'm not a big believer in any type of sustainable martial law, but something that may go on in cities and stuff like that, which again, living in a heavily populated area, you're much more susceptible to the events of an American Reformation. And it's best to have a plan. You got to have a plan to get out, to bug out, to relocate somewhere that is safer. And, you know, you're not going to have an Antifa protest because, you know, you're down the road from Uncle Bob out in the country. You don't, there's no reason for them to come out there. So, and that's, you know, to me, that's a plan. Again, for almost anything, is that if something occurs, you got to have, if you can't stay in place, then have an alternate location. It could be a family member. It could, if you're a member of a survival group or a prepper group, if somebody lives out in the country, you can pre-stage material there, equipment and everything, and then you have a plan to get out there. It's a huge topic. When you think about all the stuff that could go on, and regarding politics, and I mean, it's a really serious thing, and it's probably not real easy to answer within a few minutes. And it really is dependent upon where you're at. You know, there's a big difference between if you're living in a very conservative city where you have your local sheriff that is very pro-constitution, compared to you live someplace that is extremely liberal and they have overbearing gun laws, very controlling government, and a not so pro-constitution local sheriff that is not willing to stand up and against a federal government that may be coming in saying, hey, you know, we need to put curfews in. We need to limit any firearms. If you see somebody with a firearm, it needs to be confiscated, stuff like that. So it's a huge topic.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proven to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on gold and silver. Check out Silver.com today. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPRECON for 5% off your order at CampingSurvival.com. World wars typically have very defining moments. Of course, the United States entered World War II after having Pearl Harbor attacked. We started the War on Terror, which, you know, you can think whatever you want to think about that one. But we started that after 9/11. So these are very defining moments. Do you think there's going to be a hyper-defining moment that's going to say we've entered into World War III, and do you think that's on our horizon, and what would you speculate that could be?
This is related to a world war versus the American Reformation?
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's a multitude of things that could happen. There's a lot of things that's concerning right now. North Korea is concerning, although I truly hope that Trump's relationship with China is going to quell that situation, and China's going to take care of it. But you just never know what's going to happen there. Obviously, the tensions with Russia, and which has been ongoing for some time, with the flyovers over aircraft carriers and all the different things that's been going on there, and of course in Syria, that's been a concern of mine that the American military may take down a Russian jet, a fighter or something like that, that could promote even higher tensions and possibly retaliatory attack. There's all kinds of things that could go on and possibly be a spark that could ignite a fire that could lead to World War III. And it's not a very pleasant thought.
Do you think that the North Korean missile failure, do you think that was a result of a U.S. cyber attack?
I tell you, I have no way of knowing that. And if it was, good. I hope we keep it up and they keep failing. If the failure was due to their inability to master the technology, that's good as well. And I hope they keep it up. I don't really have any way of knowing. And although I'm sure there's little doubt that there's attempts to disrupt pretty much everything they do militarily from a cyber warfare perspective, there's no doubt that we're doing what we can to try to disable them.
Of course, we use the Stuxnet virus is one of the ways that we delayed Iran's nuclear program. So certainly there's a precedent for that type of activity by U.S. intelligence forces. But one of the problems with Stuxnet is that the Iranians got that code. And of course they shared it with the Russians. They may have shared it with the North Koreans. Most certainly, China got a copy of it. So they had this template to be able to engineer around. And just like when we bombed Hiroshima, you know, we started a whole new world of, there's a whole new way to destroy populations and civilizations, through nuclear. And with the dependency that we have now on computers, cyber war is essentially the same thing, because you can kill entire civilizations and populations through cyber warfare.
Yes.
Very recently we had, San Francisco had a massive power outage. And on that same morning, the New York subway system experienced some power outages where two trains went down and basically gridlocked the entire city. Do you have any speculation as to whether or not that could have been a cyber attack from a state actor?
Yeah, I think that there's probably numerous situations that occur similar to that, and maybe even on smaller scales, that they occur, and we never hear really what the truth is. It seems like an awful coincidence that we have these two major events on opposite ends of the country in two major cities at the same time. That's an awful coincidence there. So it could be cyber terrorism. It could be that somebody did that purposely, and it very, very possible that if that is the truth, that we may not hear it. We may hear that there was a fire over here, or a transformer went out over here and it created a cascading effect. We may not hear the truth, but it's just like over the last several years, there's been numerous communication cables that have been cut and different things that I don't think is some teenagers going out on a joyride saying, hey, let's go check this out. I think these could be tests within our system to see what the effect is for future actions.
And what projects are you working on right now?
Really just trying to keep my website going. I post Monday through Friday. And the website's been just growing dramatically over the past 3 months. I have one major project that I'm hoping to be done within the next couple of months is I'm building it's basically a file database. It's like a survival and preparedness downloadable database. And I'm hoping that it's going to be one of the largest, if not the largest, that's available on the internet that people can go to. All the files would be organized by topic, and there'll be PDFs, there'll be manuals, even some videos that people can go and download for free, and basically to try to build up a preparedness library. So that right there it's a huge undertaking, and it's been started, and I'm still working on it. Over the next 6 or 7 months, I'm working on a book that I'm writing. It's a fictional book, and it just started on that. So that's kind of a longer term project.
Oh, well, congratulations. We'll have to get you back on the show when that's out. Do you have a topic or a theme for it, or do you have a name for it yet?
I don't have a name. It's going to be revolving around EMP. And I want to give too much away, but a family finds themselves in a remote mountain location, sort of like a vacation, where they disconnected themselves from the grid for a period of time, and when they reconnect, they realize that something's happened. And of course, it'll involve other people that are in the immediate area. You know, it's not a campground, but if it was, there's other campers there and stuff, and they have to get together. Hey, what's happened? Our cars aren't starting. Hey, this guy's got a 1956 Studebaker. His car's starting. Why is that? And they go through it, and some people will have to, you know, are they going to try to hike the 2-hour trip home? That's 2 hours by vehicle, or are they going to stay in place? So that's kind of what I'm looking at.
So, John, tell folks where they can find all of your work.
Just go to my website, 1776patriotusa.com. I've got links to Facebook pages, Facebook groups, Twitter, Pinterest, and all that stuff where people can connect with me.
Well, thanks for all of your work in the patriot realm and the preparedness realm and the realm of politics. And thanks for making time for us today.
Thank you.
In the Days of Elijah, Book 2, Wormwood, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin. Everett and Courtney Carl have survived the Seven Seal Judgments, which devastated the planet. But have their efforts to stay alive been in vain? The next series of judgments to fall upon the earth are known as the Seven Trumpets. Within this series of cataclysms is the earth's collision with a giant asteroid known as Wormwood. The comet will poison much of the planet's fresh water supplies, making survival nearly impossible. With each subsequent trumpet judgment, their odds of living grow slimmer. If Everett and Courtney are to survive, they'll need perseverance, faith, and a great outpouring of providence from the Almighty. Buy your copy of The Days of Elijah, Book 2, Wormwood, in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.